Oh shit! I just got one of my free agents in my fantasy basketball league. That's cool.
Some nice. FB,
some fullback, some fantasy basketball,
some hardwood heroes.
Hardwood Heroes would be a fantastic podcast name. I want to use that as the cold open, even though that had nothing to do with our episode. We're going to call it
Hardwood. Just Chris be like, oh, I got some free agency.
Some Hardwood Heroes. All right.
Football's right around the corner. Get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And with the NFL returning, DraftKings is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when you bet $1 or more on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 or more on any Week 1 game to receive $200 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. And for Week 1, DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at $1 million top prize. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching a game quite like having a free shot at $1 million. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game, and get a free shot at $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Drew, take it away.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brews and Bruins podcast, episode 77 of season 2, Raymond Bork. In the building, not in the building. We're not that cool.
He's definitely not in the building. Nor are we in a building. Yeah.
The Brews and Bruins podcast is brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network, as we are the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Bruins Die Hard, sponsored by DraftKings. There was an ad read earlier done by either me or Cam in our soft, gentle voices. I am Drew Johnson. I am here with Chris Hasbrook and Cam Gear. Just kidding. Chris Gear and Cam Hasbrook. What are you guys doing? What are you guys doing?
You fooled everybody.
I am so funny. Hey, maybe there was a first time listener. Now you don't know which was which. What are you guys drinking? How you guys doing?
All right. So on the last episode, I featured an Honest Weight beer. And that's pretty much all I got. So I guess last episode I did Mick Ultra, but last episode I had an actual beer from a brewery, and I got another one of those. This one is one that I haven't tried yet. Comes in a bottle, and it's a weird one. We've got a World of Echoed mixed culture farmhouse ale brewed with malted wheat, conditioned in stainless with apricots, and it is 6% alcohol by volume. There's like a little bit of orange in, like, I think that's some of the sediment that was at the bottom that kind of went into the head. So this will be interesting. We'll see what happens. Okay. Yeah, it doesn't really taste like a beer, I'm going to be honest. Kind of tastes like,
ooh,
kind of tastes like apricot juice.
Is it apricot or apricot? Depends on what part of the world you're from.
Yeah, I usually pronounce it apricot.
There's an apricot for that.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, I guess it doesn't remind me of a farmhouse ale. Usually you get kind of that like weird spiciness. This is like just like a good solid beer. Say a drinkability, give it like a 20. Dings it a little bit because it is pretty bitter, but tasteability, you can absolutely taste it. 34.
All right. Hell yeah. I am drinking what is not a beer. It's a truly tropical punch hard seltzer, and it's not really even a seltzer either, actually. It's just like straight up carbonated soda. There's so much fucking sugar in this. It's so sweet. I don't know if it's actually sugar or fake. Apparently there's only 1 gram of sugar and 1,000 grams of other sweetened shit.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see here. Drinkability. Like, high because of the taste, because it's very sweet, but also low because of the taste, because it's very sweet. you could drink a lot of it, and you wouldn't have too many issues unless you're one of those people that, like, struggles to handle a lot of sweet stuff. I feel like if you're, like, a freshman in college who is also 21 years of age, then you could drink a lot of these and not have a problem, and then you'd probably hate yourself the next morning because you'd still get a massive headache. But I think any... adults with a developed taste buds would probably want to stop after 1 and 2 because it's very, very sweet. So drinkability, I'm going to give it like a 10 just because, it's going to cause problems if you crush too many of them. Taste, I mean, you can taste the shit out of that. Like I said, you open a seltzer and you expect it to be like more. I always think of like seltzer as like an aroma rather than a flavor. It's like you drink it and you're like, I can sense lemon or lime or blueberry or whatever the fuck it is, but you don't really taste it. This you 100% taste. So for that reason, I'm going to give it like a 35. But for the integrity of the podcast, I also would like to review a Chicago beer that I took some notes on. I was just out there for a wedding. Shout out to my cousin DJ and his newlywed wife, Kate. Fantastic ceremony and stuff. But I also stopped at a bunch of breweries and bars along the way. And I drank this one. I got a picture of it for the pod host here. Can't really see because it's on a screen, but it is an Around the Bend Pretty Lights Belgian Triple Ale with cranberry. I was intrigued by that. I'm not sure if I've seen a cranberry beer before. I probably have at some point, but I was intrigued. Triple Ales are usually pretty hefty on the alcohol percentage, kind of hoppier a lot of the time, so having a nice cranberry to balance that out, I thought the sweet tart bitterness would kind of work. And it did. It certainly did. Drinkability is going to be real low on this one because it was like 8% and it was heavy on the tart. Not so much like a pure sour, but kind of just like a tarted back taste to it, if it makes sense, on the back end of it a little bit. Drinkability probably in like the 5 to 6 range. Taste also very high. I'm going to give it like a 31. Good beer. I haven't had too many Chicago breweries before, but I was interested to see that the only main brewery that made it out there was Allagash, which I'm not terribly surprised. I think they're kind of the big one out of the Portland area, but
yeah, it's definitely like the stereotypical main beer is Allagash just because of its reach. I am drinking a stereotypical Boston beer. It is from Lord Hobo Brewing, one of my favorite brewing companies. The 617 Hazy IPA with 6.17 alcohol volume percent nish.
Alcohol points. 6.7 alcohol points.
6.17. A little more than a touchdown on this one. I've had it on the podcast before, and we debated whether or not it's exactly 6.17%, and there's someone's job to like make sure.
Definitely not.
Yeah, mass spectrometer. Get that shit out.
On taste, you can definitely taste it, but it's a little soft for an IPA. It's definitely some hoppiness there, but it's like it's not too intense. Soft,
Lord Hobo.
Wicked soft. Dig in the fucking corners.
No, fuck. No, I don't mean the beer. I just mean the taste. You know, so it's a little muted, but I like that because it really resembles like an actual like just pale ale. You know, it feels like something I would drink at a Red Sox game, 100%. Taste, I'm gonna go with a 25. Drinkability, certainly drinkable. Per usual with IPAs, you don't necessarily want to crush them. I mean, it's fun to crush them, but not something you want to do every night. So drinkability, gonna go with a 21.
Sweet.
And thus wraps our drink segment.
To answer your earlier question of how are you doing, that you kind of asked in concert with the beers question. I feel like Cam and I have had some adventures over the past few days, so we should probably talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, go for it. I got a couple of things too, but
I was down in Philly and Jersey for a few days, playing in a little scramble golf tournament, and unfortunately, we did not come out the victors. We lost in a 5-hole playoff.
Wow.
One of the most insane experiences of my life was having a marshal from the golf course come out and ask us what the fuck we were doing with 8 people playing the 6th hole in the middle of the afternoon after finishing 18 holes. Along with, I think it was like 16 people watching. So that was something. No one could make a birdie. Eventually we lost on the fifth hole when their only good player made a birdie, and that was really upsetting. But overall, good time. Got to see a bunch of my college friends, and got to hang out in Philly for a bit too.
Now, how big was this event? Because it sounds like you just dropped a hell of a humble brag that you made it to a 5-hole playoff in like what sounds like a golf tournament. But did you say 16 people or 60 people? Because big difference there. I'm 16. Curious.
So we had
still impressive, but I wasn't sure if you were running the pack of 60. I was like, shit, I've never known that Chris was.
And
like
those are people just out there
before.
To watch. It was on TV.
Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah,
it was
on
the golf. Yeah, yeah. You may have seen it. It was called like the U.S. Open.
It's the Ryder Cup.
It was broadcast on WIP in Philly. I second time that they've done that. I wasn't planning it last year. It's kind of hard to organize stuff like that with them because I'm across the country. But our team was entirely new people. Like I knew all 3 of my teammates, but they didn't play in it last year either. And we played pretty well, but would have liked to have avoided some of the mistakes we made. But
that's golf.
Overall, get the ball deep. Hit the green in regulation.
You got to hit fairways, hit greens,
hit your gers,
make your putts. We didn't do some of those things. And, it's hindsight's probably better than 2020 because, 2020 is average vision. But
2020 sucked too. So
it's like looking through a microscope.
Yeah, fuck 2020. Yeah. But it did start like torrential downpour like on the 10th hole. And probably for like 4 holes, it was absolutely just flooded. And, one of my buddies, Mark, made like back-to-back putts from like 20 feet where he had to basically take a full swing and hit it through a pond.
That's always fun, hitting out of water, essentially.
Yeah.
But nice. Well, that sounds like a good time. Glad you enjoyed it. Nice connecting with the college friends.
Thanks for the invite. Jesus. We go way back. We went to college together. I was early. I was a genius, so I got into college when I was supposed to be in high school,
Sick, man.
Thanks. That's it. No, not at all. Anyone who listens to this know that is absolutely not true.
I got to see some college friends too. Like I said, my cousin got married out in Chicago this last week on Saturday at this point. But then I also flew into Baltimore to see my other cousin, kind of see some college friends sort of en route to Chicago from up here in Portland. So that was awesome.
Famously on the way to Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to get time off at blocks and all that. So, it was great. I mean, got to see a couple baseball games too. I went to Camden Yards where I used to work, which will always hold a place in my heart. Great ballpark. Got to see Shohei Ohtani pitch and hit. Turns out he's a bust. He gave up 3 home runs to the Orioles and he went like over 3, so it's pretty sad to say he sucks.
Overrated. Yeah, sucks.
Sample size and whatnot. And then I also got to the south side of Chicago to see a game at Guaranteed Rate Field, which was cool. I've already been to Wrigley, so that was obviously the better of the 2 experiences, but I will say I got better vibes from the south side than I thought. I did get there on a good weekend because it was White Sox Cubs, so Battle of Chicago. And if you're following baseball at all this year, you're familiar with a very good White Sox team, and especially post deadline, a very not good Cubs team. It's a 13-1 final score with a 7-1 fifth inning. I had the White Sox money line, so it's good stuff. but no, it was a
on DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the
home. No, not on DraftKings. Yeah, they don't
as a but... dynasty owner of both Tim Anderson and Luis Robert, I'm a big fan.
Not having Tim Anderson did not play. Yeah, you cut out there. I heard Tim Anderson, but he did not play, which sucked. There we go. We're back. Sorry, we got some. We'll have to cut this out because there were some technical difficulties. But
yeah, you
might have just on your end. A little bit.
Oh, okay. It showed Chris lagging. I mean, that was weird because Chris was lagging, but Drew wasn't. But anyway, but yeah, that was cool. It was a really rowdy game. Obviously, when you're beating up on your crosstown rivals, I don't know if anybody have been to like Mets, Yankees, or I don't know exactly what the vibe is like for Dodgers, Angels, but I imagine it'd be somewhat similar.
Red Sox, cool vibe, and, Senators.
Yeah. So that was fun. It was nice to got to connect with some old friends down in Maryland, and I got to kind of drive through my old college campus. I didn't really get the chance to walk around and stuff, but that shit was wild because they built like 300 new dorms since I'd been there last, which was only like a year and a half ago. Got to see the old roller rink I used to play on, which is good. And then, yeah, got out to Chicago, bounced around. My brother lives out there, so I got out there a little bit early and just kind of bounced around to a bunch of different stuff, the zoo, jumped to Lake Michigan and all that. Bunch of different breweries, nice Irish pub. If you're in Chicago, Galway Arms, great place to catch a soccer game on a Saturday or football. Galway Arms is great. And then, went to a wedding. It was a black tie wedding, which was way, but I felt very out of place walking into that event. And it was at a very fine hotel in downtown Chicago. I think I sent you guys some pictures and such, but it was not exactly my average Saturday for sure.
Yeah.
One thing that was hilarious though, was that my brother lives in Lincoln Park. The wedding was in downtown Chicago, not terribly far, but probably not the distance you'd want to walk in a tuxedo. Cause we got ready down at his apartment. So, we were planning to like take an Uber down to the wedding beforehand, but we also had to meet up with my brother's girlfriend, and she had texted him. She's training for a marathon right now, so she got up and ran like 17 miles that morning, which God bless her heart. Yeah, pre-wedding. I don't know how you do that. But she was like, hey, I'm like running behind. I haven't gotten to eat all day. Do you guys mind stopping at Starbucks on the way to grabbing me? Meanwhile, Connor and I are fully dressed in tuxedos, and we're like, well, shit, the Starbucks is like halfway. We're not going to take two Ubers and wait for them both. We don't have time. So we ended up pulling, like, it looked like out of a movie scene. We were just running pretty much down the streets of downtown Chicago. Mind you, it's like 90 degrees outside in full tuxedos. And we got some strange looks. We had people land on the horn at us as they were driving around. It was chaotic, to say the least. But there's some videos of that, too. So I'll have to get those out to the people at some point.
So I love a good black tie wedding. But what I don't like about a black tie wedding is people just like don't know what that means. So no one shows up wearing black tie.
Yeah, they made sure everybody knew what it meant. So it was it was very classy. It was cool. It was I walked in, I was like, this is probably the nicest thing I'll ever be a part of. So
I went to a black tie wedding and I was dressed better than like all the groomsmen and everything.
So. Oh no. yeah, that's almost a problem.
Pretty embarrassing situation.
Yeah, no, I was renting that shit because if you've met me before, you probably could tell by the everything about me that I do not own a tuxedo. So, but it's I will just, say
go to work
on the business side of things, I really checked out of like, it was, I know it was like a bad week to check out of news and hockey stuff, especially, and the overlap there, because there's been a lot going on with 20-year wars ending and everything going on in the hockey community right now and all that stuff. So I am a little bit out of touch. I just want to jump that in there before we get too deep here. I'm going to be learning some
things. All right. And now our segment on the U.S. pulling out of Afghanistan. So,
it all starts. it's the little thing called the Cold War back in the 19th. All right.
My stuff is just like life things that I didn't go anywhere. I've stayed in my house. Because I left my job at the restaurant, the good old Bertucci's, and I'm gearing up to move to Portland, Maine.
Dun, 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 dun.
Me and Cam will be a 15-minute walk away from each other, a 5-minute drive. I looked it up.
Yep. And we will officially be excommunicating Chris from the Brews and Brews podcast. So yes. Like, thank you for your service.
Well Chris has 90 days to evacuate his home
in Portland. Yeah. 90 day fiance, but the podcast version.
We can make that work. That'd be a good segment.
But yeah, so it's going to be exciting starting a new journalism job there for a newspaper. So I'm actually resigning from the podcast now. On to bigger and better. No, oh, fuck off. No, you're stuck with me.
Oh, that was a good opportunity to actually use the applause, and I didn't use it. That's a bummer, but oh well.
But yeah, so we're all doing good shit. That's awesome. Good shit. Yeah, this has been a life update. Life and liberties and the pursuit of happiness. Oh, but everybody should pursue countries happiness. Have it. Some nations have it that like people are like forced to do military. Like you got to be in the military for 2 years or whatever.
One of those.
In America, it should be a restaurant worker or retail. I think you should do two years of that. Or no, honestly, just a month. Most people would last a month, I feel, in either of those jobs.
Miller Lite.
Yeah.
All right, you want to talk a little hockey stuff on this hockey podcast?
Yeah, let's do it.
That.
I clicked on an article on NHL.com, and it's a weird picture of Matt Pacioretty. But really, the main
who's Matt
Pacioretty?
Maximilian. Pacioretty Aleti. No, but the real news in the hockey world, especially as it like somewhat affects the Bruins, I suppose. I think it affects everyone. Is that which is kind of funny that this one thing affects a lot of teams. Is Jack Eichel got a new agent because his original agent wasn't getting the job done. He's been trying to get out of Buffalo for a long, long time, and there was actually a meeting that was held between Eichel and his new agent, the Buffalo Sabres. The NHL, the league itself, and the NHL Players Association. Now, I don't know what occurred in that meeting. I would have loved to be a fly on the wall.
Or a person at the meeting.
No, I don't want to be involved with that situation. That seems like a sticky situation. I'd rather just witness. But, you know, maybe Eichel's being traded to the league and he's now going to be an executive. That would be cool. I don't know.
I think somebody got the scoop that he's going to be the new Gary Bettman. So
yeah, he is. He's just going to get booed for
just the job, but he's going to just take over every aspect of Gary Bettman's life. He's going to move in the house, take over with the kids. I don't know if Bettman has kids, but if he does, they're legally Jack Eichel's now.
Yeah, so, moving into Bettman's penthouse apartment.
Avoid the lockout.
I don't know where Gary Bettman lives.
Gary Bettman specifically asked that you not know where he lives.
True. Yeah. Bummer.
Spent a lot of time there the past couple of years. You know, me and Gary hanging out.
Jerry, down the street. Gary.
Jerry and Gary. Yeah. Sleepy Gary. Oh, all right.
Gary.
Yeah.
Gary Cheevers Bettman.
Do we want to talk about whether this is actually going to impact the Bruins?
Yeah, that's kind of where I was trying to go with it, but we got sidetracked. Yeah. What do you think of the Bruins' chances?
I feel like this means nothing because the Bruins are not getting. I know everybody who like has ever like sniffed the state of Massachusetts is going to end up being a Bruin one day, according to Bruins fans. But like, it's just not going to happen. Like, there's no feasible way that he makes it into the cap, at least in the next like year or two, probably. So,
well,
trade him to within?
Well, if they want Pastrnak and McAvoy and a first,
yeah, of course. I guess, yeah, that's fucking ridiculous. It doesn't matter at all.
It really says something terrible about the Buffalo Sabres that Jack Eichel had to fire his agent because he couldn't get him out of there. Like, he wants out so bad. They were so bad that Jack Eichel got rid of him because they couldn't get him out of Buffalo. So it's like, how does that make you feel as a Sabres fan? I can't imagine great. There's no hope for that fucking franchise.
So my roommate Lexi, who I'm sure has appeared on this podcast at some point by accident,
playing beer pong,
is a Sabres fan. And she's watched like four total games over the past 2 years. And she's like a big Sabres fan. So I don't know. I think you get a pass.
It's like mental health at that point. Yeah,
to just not watch that team play for a few years.
I think that's kind of like how a lot of Boston sports teams were for a few years back in the days before me and Cam were born.
Back before y'all.
Yeah,
I just
had to grow up through that. That must have been a harsh childhood.
Yeah,
holy shit.
I suffered through like 10 years of, I guess probably like 5 years of actual consciousness before Boston team started winning championships.
Yeah,
Pats first. Yeah,
the worst thing that any Boston sports fan has had to endure is 5 years of bad play. Right? It's famously
growing up, my dad was always yelling at me like, "What? You don't understand."
Yeah, no,
same.
You start winning and they're like, "No, you're not supposed to be happy. How does this work?" It's like
you're supposed to suffer for 50 years. Well,
and not to mention, like, I went to Villanova and like right after I graduated, well, they went to the Final Four the first year I was there. And right after I graduated, they won 2 out of 3 national championships. So I've been extremely spoiled.
Is Jack Eichel a free agent? Just to pivot real quick to like at the end of this, I think this is the last year on his contract, right? Coming up?
No. He signed a pretty. Next year is the year that his no move kicks in, though, and he gets a pretty big money bonus.
Oh, you're right. Holy shit! Yeah, he's 10 mil cap hit through 25-26. Never mind. Who was I thinking? There's a player we talked about in the past that's
Matthias Ekholm.
Was it Echo?
I don't know, but he's up after this year.
Yeah, many players.
There we go. Bill. I mean, Chris, you've had your eye on him for a while, so
yeah.
GM.
So one of the things I was going to say about Eichel is that I think someone said it on this podcast, like one of our guests, I believe, was just talking about the most likely scenario in which Jack Eichel ends up on the Bruins is like when he's 37, he comes and finishes his last 2 years here.
It would have to be like in a Gimla thing, you know what I mean? Or something like that, where it's like you sign him after the prime and throw him in the middle six and see what happens. Like, it's the only way I would see it happening.
Yeah, it sucks because it makes so much sense with Krejci gone and Bergeron getting old that like getting a guy like that would be an awesome transition, but there's just no way.
Too good to be true. Yeah, some things are.
Who else could it be?
Well, I've seen a lot of people, wish casting this is like, well, I mean, like the Bruins could give up this, and like actually get it done. I know Matt Porter came on here and gave a pretty good case for like Carlo plus a few guys and some picks. But at the same time, like they still got to outbid other teams that aren't in the division. And
also at some point you have to address the fact that not this directly, but the Athletic just ranked your prospect pool as number 29 in the league. And you have a fair number of your better players in the back end of the career. So as much as you'd like to sink all your money into Jack Eichel and act like you're going for the next decade, it's just not very realistic. At some point you have to start thinking about the organization beyond the top line or two. So, I don't know. It would be awesome. I would love to, you know, if you're playing NHL 21 out there, because don't buy NHL 22, it looks like shit.
I haven't bought one since 18, so.
If you're playing any of them, go ahead and trade for Jack Eichel on the Bruins and turn the salary cap off and let us know how it goes, because we're curious. But in real life, I don't see it budding at any point soon here.
I also refuse to buy an NHL game where they put Austin Matthews on the cover like 3 years after they put him on the
literally two, twice 3 years. Yeah, it's because the whole game is recycled content. So
we don't even recycle content.
Yeah, I know. If we don't do it, then EA, you have no fucking excuse.
Yeah,
but it's all right.
We're on a $0 budget, because we get to do this nice fee of zero. We actually had to pay Jaffe to come on. So
just to say, that's not true. Just in case people are curious.
We did after we had to pay him off to not talk shit about us. So.
We did offer to Venmo him for the beer.
Yeah, we did.
I actually don't remember that, but that's amazing.
And then he had water. So
yeah,
water on the pie. Do we Venmo him? We don't know.
No, any we other, didn't pay anyone. Any we haven't Bruins, paid anyone Bruins? Ever.
Are very loosely tied to the Bruins rumors that we want to address. After all, it is the end of August, so this is what we do now.
I think they're done. I think they're done making moves.
The team is done. The Bruins.
Yeah, they're
not
done.
They're gonna call it.
On to Quebec.
Dumping it.
Quebec City Bruins.
They're saying the Arizona Coyotes are gonna have to move to a different place. So I guess the Bruins are gonna move to Arizona.
That shit did piss me off when everybody started reporting that the Coyotes were moving, and I shouldn't say everybody, but it's just like not the case of what was happening. I mean, no, like they are technically moving arenas, but like,
yeah, their arena's sick of them being there.
Yeah, that pissed me off. I like that day when the news initially broke. I like was driving to work and like turned on sports talk radio, and which was the first mistake. And they're like, yeah, you know, it's after all this time the Coyotes are moving, and you know the Phoenix, they just rejected the Coyotes, and you know after all this time they're finally gonna move to either Quebec City or Houston. And I'm stating that as if it's like all a fact, and I was just like, none of this is even remotely true. First of all, they're not moving. Second of all, they weren't rejected by the fans. That's just so disrespectful to say to that franchise.
And they also weren't in Phoenix in the first place, dude.
And third of all, they weren't in fucking Phoenix. Yeah, exactly. They're in Glendale. And guess what? Yeah. They're moving closer to their fans. So this whole, like, oh, the fans rejected them narrative. I was like, fucking hell. Like, I get it for, like, stupid people on Twitter to do it. And I don't want to name any names here because I'm sure they just don't familiar with hockey. But it's like one of those things where it's like, don't start reporting that as fact. You know what I mean? Like, you have to at least say you're speculating if you clearly are speculating. Because now the average person who tunes in is like, yeah, see, fucking hockey in the desert doesn't work. Even though it's just not at all what's happening. So anyway, there's my TED Talk for today. Hope you enjoyed.
Women's World Championships. Yeah. USA won today. Beat Finland 3-0. Actually, I didn't see the end of the game, but I tuned out at like 2.5 minutes after they scored that empty netter. But I assume it was 3-0.
Boy, do we have news for you. No,
did they beat? Never mind.
Thanks, Drew. once again, didn't catch the end of the Canada-Switzerland game, but it looked like Canada was going to take that one.
The Swiss are plane, just too peaceful. I was actually just following through Chris's tweets. So
Swiss are too peaceful and neutral for hockey, I think.
Great cheese though. Great cheese.
So
that's a history joke.
Excited for that constant rematch, but
Yeah,
USA.
It's always good though. You know what I mean? It's like one of those ones where it's like part of you wants to see different matchups, but part of you is like, I don't know, any hockey tournament that's international where you don't get USA Canada, it's like, all right, well, I feel like we got cheapskated this time, which like I'm happy to see the Olympic qualifying groups too for the men's side, I believe it was, has the US and Canada in the same group and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? You want to see that. Those are the best games to watch every time. Any international competition.
My favorite thing to do, we were talking about Chell. One of my favorite things to do in those games, though, is like play as like the Great Britain team or the Australia national team.
China.
It's like, that's like 63 overall.
Yeah. They are generous, except for like
they have their real players, though.
Yeah.
I'm pretty damn sure they have their real players, which is kind of cool because there's actually some like some of those leagues are actually like, you know, I feel like most hockey is good hockey, you know.
It seems
like
they've
blown
pros,
out.
Yeah.
Like it's good.
Do they
hockey.
Have the Kenyan national team?
I'm not sure.
I don't think they do on EA.
Probably
they
not.
Can't
their
figure
EA.
Out how to, yeah. I don't even think they have all the NHL teams on EA, to be honest with you. But I will say though, like it'd be cool to play as like Slovenia and just like have like Anze Kopitar and then just like dudes from Slovenia like behind him would be pretty cool. Although like, they actually did decent last time they were in. Like major international tournament, but I don't really remember, to be honest with you. So maybe I'm thinking of their soccer team. I don't know.
There's their Olympics coming up too.
The last one I remember was the World Cup, and that was Team Europe. So it was like Chara, and Seidenberg, and all that.
Yeah,
but they did go to the finals against TNA.
Yeah, that was kind of a. That's kind of a botched job as far as that went. Oh, well.
One last thing I did want to address before we head into Friday's episode, unless there's something else appropriate for this episode, was that Jimmy Hayes, his funeral was... I actually forget the exact day. It was either today, the day we're recording, or yesterday. But Kevin Hayes, his brother, and also a member of the Philadelphia Flyers. He's Philly now, right? I just remember him being on other teams too. But he gave a very emotional speech. I don't know if you guys saw this, but he was telling a story about how there was a 12-year-old who had cancer that went to the Bruins locker room when the Hayes was part of the Bruins, and Hayes brought him into the locker room and asked like who his favorite player was. And he's like, it doesn't have to be me. And it was David Krejci. So Hayes brought him over to David Krejci, and the three of them talked for like 20 minutes. And the kid said it was probably like one of the best nights he had ever had. So it just like, it's everything I've seen since he passed away. It just talks about how amazing of a human being he was. And that was just like one instance of, just like the positive impact he had on many people's lives, which I just think it's so amazing how the whole, like the whole hockey community is just like this. This guy wasn't, he was an amazing man, not just a good hockey player, but yeah. So I just wanted to at least mention that.
Yeah. I was going back through, just because I was curious. I was like, oh, I know this is a guy that I had like written about during my time at the Hockey Raiders. Actually, I think this is when we were all there. Actually, this is 2015 when they first got him. And I Googled like, you know, just my name with him and stuff to see what came up. And, this kind of speaks to that, but I found an article from when him and Bolesky were picked up, just kind of previewing like, hey, what they're going to be like in the Bruins, that sort of thing. And the only quote I had in there was one I pulled from Sean Thornton. And the first thing he said was, I love that kid. He's a hardworking kid, a great team guy. And I'll tell you, he'll be a guy that's proud to pull on that sweater. And, you know, obviously hockey contributions aside, I think that was something that, everybody, especially over the last week, I really had praise for just his character and the type of guy he was off the ice and stuff. And, you know, obviously as hockey fans, we have tendencies to judge players based on their performance and stuff like that. But it's so important to remember that these are people and stuff. And to me, anybody like him who can make an impact on like a kid like Drew just mentioned is, you know, that's so much more important than anything you're doing on the ice, is just spreading that love and the joy of the game and everything that comes with it. So obviously just so awful what happened, and you can't even begin to put that into words, but to see the outpouring of community support and, you know, hopefully an opportunity to bring people together and remind them about what's important in hockey for real is good. So glad to see some positives coming out of it.
Yep. All right.
No good segue out of that, but
I think the segue is to end the episode. Cheers to Jimmy. Catch you in the next episode.